hope it's well with your soul today. But I have to say, sometimes I feel like that fella, Rodney Dangerfield. You know the comedian fella there? I don't get no respect. Sometimes I feel that way. I have a friend that will call me from time to time, right in the middle of the weekday morning, and he'll say, "I hope I didn't get you out of bed. I know it's not Sunday." And then there's another one that likes to drive the needle in, and he'll say, "Well, you pastors have got it made. On a good day, you get up, you do a little study and make a few calls. If it's a bad day, you just roll over in bed and say your prayers." And I got two things about that. First of all, he doesn't know ministry very much. And secondly, he knows even less on prayer. Because I can tell you one thing today for sure, you don't turn over in bed and say your prayers. So we're continuing our series on character under construction. And as we are on this disciples, we're all pilgrims here making our way through this land, a foreign land, and we're asking God to work on our lives. And I'm lifting up Matthew 22, where Jesus said, the number one commandment is to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and then he said, with all of your soul. And so as we give God our lives, that is our heart, our minds, and our souls, let us begin to really exercise our soul. And by that, I mean our prayer life. Now, all of us need to be in prayer. As we find ourselves on this journey of discipleship, prayer, I got to tell you, is the most essential aspect of the life of the disciples. Prayer is paramount. Prayer is supreme. Prayer is imperative. It is absolutely critical for every person that's on this journey of discipleship. Paul says, pray without ceasing. James says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous is powerful. John says, we can go to God in great confidence because if we ask anything in his name, he will hear our prayer. And so today I want us to ponder this parable that has been shared before us today in Luke 18 and also call your attention to a second one. And we find this, Jesus here talking to the disciples in Luke 11. And listen to these words as Jesus shared. He also said to them, imagine that one of you has a friend and you go to that friend in the middle of the night and imagine saying, friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. Imagine further that he answers from within the house, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened unto you. The door will be open unto you. Now, here we find Jesus often using these kinds of parables and these kind of powerful short stories that were so profound to make truth known. And these clear points here, which lie at the very core of the Christian faith, would be so understandable to the disciples and those whom he instructed, and I dare say to us today. And when he said and told a story, you can be sure it was something that really needed to be shared. It was a critical lesson to be understood. And we shouldn't be surprised here that Jesus here taught the parable specifically in Luke 11 and Luke 18 to teach us to not be discouraged when it comes to our life of prayer. It was as if Jesus saying, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a very important story to keep you from losing heart when you pray. So prayer is far too important to allow something like discouragement to seep in. Prayer is the key that unlocks the storehouse of all of God's power. As Matthew Henry, the commentator, said, prayer is the key to the morning and it's the bolt to the evening. And all that God is and all that God has is available to those who pray. And many believers, frankly, have never really learned to pray. And the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. They had obviously seen something in the life of Christ that wasn't just about uttering a few syllables before the evening meal. But continually they saw him going away, going into the mountain or into the garden alone. I've got to get away and pray. And it was so clear to them that something was vital about this. They said, well, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us what's going on. In other words, there's a right way and a wrong way to pray. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of God's will. Prayer is not sending God to run your errands, but it's reporting for duty. Prayer is not like a vending machine where you put a quarter in and expect to get a piece of candy out, but it's yielding to the purpose of God. It's striving for the mind of Christ. Now, prayer, as we pray on this journey of discipleship, it will increase your confidence and give you courage and boldness, and it will deepen your walk of faith, and it will increase exponentially your life of faith. It was Spurgeon, that 19th century great preacher known as the silver-tongued orator of his day, he said, I would rather have one person that would really effectually and fervently pray than 10 who could preach greatly. Jesus here is responding in these parables, in these texts, to the questions and the queries of the disciples with the stories of enduring and encouragement when it comes to our life of prayer. And I believe that's why Jesus told these stories here. They teach us some things about prayer. And if we can grasp it and begin to implement and practice it as we're on the journey here as discipleship, we will really see our lives revolutionized. So some things let's take from these texts today in Luke 11 and 18. The first thing is you stand back and look at these stories that Jesus shares. The first is the circumstance of the one who prays. I'm so glad that there's nothing too small and nothing too large that we can't take to God in prayer. I have gone to God when life has been hanging in the balance or when the grade has been on the line. And some people think God does not like to be troubled with all of us constantly coming to God and asking for something. But the only way, in fact, that God is troubled is when we don't go to God in prayer. For when the disciples went to Jesus in Luke 11, they asked him to teach them to pray, and Jesus responded with these stories. He told them of a man who found himself one day at the end of his resources. He was faced here with a claim that he could not meet unless he could obtain help from an outside source. And you know, our circumstance in life is much like this individual here. We will become people of prayer only when we recognize, it seems, our deepest need. The woman in Luke 18 is just the same. She began to beg the judge for justice, believing she could not live without it. So what seems to be the moral of the story? It pays to pester. But that's not really what is going on here. Told by Jesus, these words, these parables, to encourage us on a daily walk of prayer. And if you read this story carefully, Jesus says, you are totally unlike that widow because you are related to me in that most intimate of ways. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High. There's no finagling necessary. Now, one of the most difficult things about prayer, especially in our culture, is what is seeped in as humanism. Humanism is the doctrine of the day, and it really infects every level of society, it seems. Humanism, in its rawest form, is really the antithesis of what the gospel shares. It teaches us we don't need God because we ourselves are God. It says we can be masters of our fate and captains of our soul, and prayer stabs at the heart of that idea. God teaches us that we are dependent upon Him, not because He wishes to lord it over us, because it's true. Now, many today refuse to accept that, I find, and they consider weakness. But a relationship with Christ, I got to tell you, is not a crutch. In fact, it's the irreducible minimum of life. You remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You refuse to come to me to have life." You see, coming to faith in Christ is life itself. And anyone who has not come to understand this has really not come to understand the basic principle of prayer. Now, one reason why prayer is so hard for us is that prayer forces us to admit our own spiritual weakness. Prayer causes us really to acknowledge our limitations, and its very existence shouts that God is the only source that can really meet our needs. And God insists that through His word that until we come to Him as the widow came to the judge, as the man there went to his friend, we will never know either prayer or its power in our lives. And the truth is, it's easier for many of us to do almost anything but pray. It's easier for us to serve on a committee or work in the food pantry or do so many other busy things where we seem active. But what a shame, because it is prayer, folks, that brings us into the presence of God. And prayer makes the difference between a journey through this life that's going to be mediocre or a journey through this life that is going to have greatness. And yet, this is not, as we call it, worm theology. Worm theology, that is, poor me, I just can't do anything. The Bible makes it crystal clear about the great claims of the power of prayer. Just a quick walk through the Bible, you'll find it replete with so many incredible stories of prayer. We think about Abraham prayed and God healed Abimelech. Hannah prayed and she received a child. Elijah prayed and it did not rain. Hezekiah prayed and his life was extended for 15 years. The disciples prayed and Peter was released from prison. And when we keep these kinds of truths in perspective, we will really be ready to become all that God wants us to be as we journey on this road of faith. Not only here do we find the circumstances of the one who prays, but as you think about it, we also find the concern of the one who prays. Acute need seems to be the motivating factor in both of these parables. I mean, the man requests bread while the other one asks for justice, probably a dispute about money. And both requests are born out of this great need in a real world, and both desires come from hearts that are aching and bodies that are broken. But Jesus is teaching us here that prayer is not just for church on Sunday. Prayer is not just for those few brief seconds before our evening meal. It's not offered only before some type of shrine, but prayer wears denim to work. It's about day-to-day living. It's about real life. It's about routine. The issues we pray about stem from those things that are going on in our life. Prayer is about everyday things. Jesus said, our daily bread. It's about running out of milk. It's about having conflict in the home. It's about having those issues that surround us in our neighborhoods. And we must never make prayer some type of spiritual make-believe game that doesn't focus on the real needs that confront us. I've been in some prayer meetings myself where some of the people that were offering prayers I thought must live on a different planet than I do. Oswald Chambers, the great devotional writer, he said, some of the things that we pray about are so absurd as if we prayed, oh Lord, take me out of this room, and then refuse to go. Have you ever stopped to consider how you go to God in prayer? Now, if you had children and you stopped by the nursery here this morning, imagine, did you say, I ask you, O thou, that you would be with my children in a special way? I think not. If you got a new babysitter and you're dropping your kids off, you give them specific instructions, don't you? You say, well, I need the kids in bed by 9. They can have a snack before bed, make sure they have their bath, and finish their homework, and you can reach me at this number. We're very specific with the kind of instructions we give our babysitters, and we want them to know the specific. And I got to tell you, prayer is the same way. Prayer is about real world concerns. No need to shift into the glass stained cathedral voice when we go to God in prayer. Prayer comes out of the world, the workday world of houses and broken cars and health problems and school dilemmas. And prayer is about milk and bread and money and conflict. And it's about feeding those unexpected companies in the middle of the night where the cupboards are bare and the stores are closed. And that's what God teaches to us in these parables. The necessity of prayer springs out of the needs of the real world, but we have to be consistent and persistent. And that leads me to the last thing here, where you find in these parables that Jesus is sharing here the constancy that is needed before God. Constancy is one of the key points that you find if you think about it and study these parables here in both Luke 11 and 18. Too many pray like the little boys who knocked at my door here sometime back and then ran. What do they call that? Ding-dong ditch? Yeah. Well, you ring the doorbell and you run, you go get the door and no one is home. I read somewhere where the greatest blessing of prayer is not in receiving the answer, but rather in being the kind of person that God can entrust with the answer. It's something like in the world of athletics, it's good to win the game, but it's even better to be the kind of healthy, athletic, coordinated person who can play the game, right? And we'll pray even when we don't understand the answer and when it's going to come. It's a disciple like that whom God trusts. Now, when our children were small, we used to have a game that we would play. And I would reach into my pocket, they would sit on my lap, and I would pull out a handful of pennies. And I would clasp them real hard in my hand, make a fist. And they would sit there for several minutes trying to open my finger one at a time and grab some of those coins. And in the rules of international finger opening, once you got one finger open, you couldn't close it again. And they would work and whittle and do all they could until they got all of the fingers open and they could grab those pennies. And then they would leap off my lap and they would run with delight. Just kids. Just a game. But sometimes when we come to God, we come for the pennies. And we say, Lord, I need a passing grade. Lord, help me to study. Lord, I need a job. Lord, my mother is ill. Lord, I got a problem at work. We reach for the pennies. And when God grants the request, we seem to push the hand away. And more important, I got to tell you today, than the pennies is the hand of God itself. And that's what prayer is about. And let me say to you today, go to God in prayer. You will never utter a prayer that doesn't become an instantaneous priority on God's agenda. Let us pray. How good it is, oh God, to be in this time of worship together and to be in these moments of prayer. How we ask that you would continue to work in our lives, in our faith lives, as we continue our journey. Oh, develop our character and strengthen us in the faith. Help us to be those disciples that are intentionally and continually in communion with you. In times of prayer, not finagling, not pestering, but just that persistent, daily, continual life of prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.